If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and light of the one divine presence and heart. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. So our seminar topic this evening is dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. So let's take a deep breath. And present yourself before the Most High, in whom you live and move and have your being, who dwells in that secret place within your heart, in you, as you, the real you. So touch to that secret place. Within you, you know how to find it. Only you can find your own entrance into that secret dwelling. It is the door to everything. It is the very opening into infinite life. So take another deep breath. And allow your knowing to quietly rest in your awareness and dawn like the sunlight of a bright new day, illumining clearly that way that you can drop past the mind, past the fluctuating moods and mood making of the mind. And the emotions. And like a pebble dropped into a quiescent lake, allow your consciousness to drop into your heart. That's it, beloved. Take another deep breath. And allow yourself to settle into that deep inner well of peace. It is a well that uprises with eternal life. It is the wellspring of life that rejuvenates and recharges and revivifies every cell of your being into immortality. It transfigures your very carnal nature into that of a radiant Son of God. S-U-N of God. That is the magnitude of who you are. And what you are engaging in at this time as we are in the very process of that metamorphosis from being a mere carnally minded human to the radiant light beings that will move across the galaxy in a new life wave, radiant with new possibilities yet to be explored and activated. That is our destiny, That is our direction. And our arrival is assured. It's not so much an effort on our part as it is a stepping into the flow and allowing infinite love to flow the way. The flow is the way. It's an energy wave that emanates from the core of your innermost being. It forms a world and reality uniquely woven of your own particular soul matrix and resonance. It's unique to you. And at the same time, it is infinitely one and intrinsically one with all life. That is how you can be the unique snowflake, using our analogy of last week's seminar, within those massive fields of snow with all the other unique snowflakes, and yet maintain a unique individuality within the snowfield that would be a symbol of the divine Atma or spirit. Never lose sight of the importance of you as a unique, uniquely begotten Son, S-U-N, of God. Your whole body, your mind, your emotions, each of your subtle spheres of each of your subtle bodies, is a universe of its own. That you have yourself filled with beautiful creations that you will remember and are in process of remembering. And as you move into this new dimensional overlay, that which was wrought of the ignorance of the true self will simply vanish in the love that you are. Needless is this processing and all the things that you go through to become what you could never cease being. And that is the true self that you've always been. Don't waste time trying to fix yourself. That's like rearranging the furniture in an old house that you've outgrown. You know, you're better off buying new furniture that suits the new house that you're moving into. Think of this new level of consciousness as a beautiful mansion that you are moving into. And you don't want to carry those outworn, outgrown, obsolete obstacles and objects from your past. Love dissolves all things unlike itself. There is no judgment. There is no punishment. That which is pure unconditioned love cannot even see anything but pure unconditional love as you. So lay aside those things that were taught to you by people who were still in deep states of samsara, maya, and sleep. They're like the mutterings of someone in a drunken stupor or partly asleep and muttering in fretful dreams. All of the teachings of the past become obsolete in this new level that we are moving into. You shall be taught anew through direct revelation. Behold, I make all things new, said the Christ. And that Christ dwells within you as that new level of consciousness that reveals the essential divinity and oneness of all life. It enables you to speak the language of the heart. That language of the heart instantly communicates, with or without words, the quintessential core essence of what you wish to convey. It is instantaneous. It goes across a vast connecting network, which we call the Christ Consciousness Grid, in which you function now as the body of Christ within a collective of souls that resonate to the vibration of living love and living light and the living Word of God. You are the quintessential embodiment of that. You are, every one of you, a divine incarnation. Completely pure. Completely untouched by your passage through the dream fields of time and space and becomingness. Just as you are untouched upon awakening from the content of your dream. In likewise manner, know that nothing you have done in your fitful sleep of human ignorance has ever touched the divinity that you are. So, there is a secret place of the Most High that was spoken of in the psalm, the 91st psalm. I will read a couple passages from that so you get an idea of what it's like to dwell in that place. I quote, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust." If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your home. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. And they will lift you up and bear you in their hands. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And remember, the root meaning of the word salvation is wholeness and holiness. So calling upon the name of the Lord is that heart coherency that radiates a communique from that secret heart space and communicates in the language of love. Whomever you love, you have instant communion with at all times. There's never any separation from that which you love or those that you love. Nothing, neither in life, nor in the worlds beyond, nor in the process of death, nor in any place in the universe can separate you from the love of God, which is your own nature. Now, perhaps a few of you who are listening have already found that secret place and are dwelling therein. If so, you're living in that state of inner peace, in a sense of security that nothing that happens or that people say may happen in the outer world can affect you one iota. The majority of people, however, are not dwelling in that secret place, and most don't even know such a place exists. Why do I say that? Because they're worried and fearful of what may happen now and in the future. And they live in fear and concern, be it regarding 2012, for the global economy, or job security, or securing and maintaining steady income. They worry about their health, their families, who will be voted into office, what the government is or isn't doing. In other words, they're living from a place of constant insecurity, fear, and mental agitation. Now, that certainly is not a secret place, because every news and every social media outlet, without exception, is blaring this dreary message in some form or another. So, there is no respite from the cares of the world, which is why Jesus said not to have those cares about what you will eat or where you'll sleep or what you'll wear. That those things are supplied automatically when you seek first the kingdom of God. When you prioritize that, then everything else will find its way to you in perfect timing and perfect ways and come and sit in your lap. You won't even have to think of yourself at all if you're so filled with the love of God. So this major leap in consciousness, which we are undergoing, if we can stay heart-focused, we will be able to easily shift into an entirely new level of consciousness. It's not as difficult as people would make it out to be. Your heart literally holds the keys to your future and how and in what manner you will experience this dimensional shift. Those who stubbornly remain in the separative, negative state of ego mind will simply not be able to enter this new level. Ego cannot enter the secret place of the Most High. That's a false self. That's a false idol. That's a false image that the separated mind has projected. And none of those false projections can enter the sphere of truth. Only those with the awakened open heart will be able to advance to this next frequency band of consciousness, and it is a frequency band. It is stabilized and anchored in this Christ consciousness grid. It has also been referred to as the technology of living light. So with it comes an entire technology that is non-form, organizationally, in terms of building structure, it's not based on that. It's based on the technology of consciousness and specific resonant fields that you are cooperative in. So everything that you have envisioned in your highest divine mind and heart and dreams and visions is part of what you are moving into that is coming as a very gifting from love to love, born of love. So it's a technology that is heart activated rather than mind birthed. So the opened heart itself creates an entirely different sphere of influence and manifestation. The heart sphere is so powerful that the earth itself and nature will preserve and protect you, no matter what happens in the environment around you. You know, wherever you are, there could be earthquakes or tornadoes or bombs or whatever, and you will be in a different sphere of atmosphere and vibration. So the most important thing you could possibly do now is to lay aside everything else, if necessary, and focus upon living from your opened heart space. I think perhaps the prayer that is most readily heard and responded to is where we simply ask for greater love and devotion and grace. Always ask for grace. You know, grace is always there, so perhaps we need to ask for the love and devotion to be aware of the presence of grace. You know, everything is there, but if you're asleep to it or focused with the cares and worries and things that keep you mind jammed and bogged down in the lower vibrations, you're simply not aware of all the glory and miracles and wonderful things that are around you. So it's all about that simple, innocent, childlike approach. You simply go to God and ask with all the faith of a child that you will definitely receive whatever it is that you ask for out of that sweet innocence. Now, the reason why many people don't do that it's because they think that such an approach is beneath them somehow, that they have evolved beyond such a direct and simple approach. And that resistance is simply the vanity and pride of ego blocking your further progression. The mind that thinks it knows and prides itself on its intellectual grasp of spiritual theories, or the one that believes it is too far advanced beyond such simplistic approaches, is actually entrapped by the prison of the known. Yeah, we can be too smart for our britches, too big for our britches. So only the virgins in the parable of the 10 virgins were able to enter the bridal chamber and be with the beloved. So we must have that virgin mind that has become the mind that has been Christed, purified by keeping company with the divine name and form through meditation, the repetition of the holy names of God, and loving devotion. That's what clears the mind and inner consciousness. When the mind is thus filled with the beloved, love naturally flows forth as a result, attracting all to itself. So that open heart then exerts that field of influence in such a powerful manner that it causes all of nature to respond in loving, protective, and nurturing ways. It acts like a cloak of invisibility that causes you to be invisible to everything but the loving grace and goodness and provision of creation. Your immune system even becomes so strong that you simply don't catch the flu or colds like others do. Even harmful germs and bacteria are not attracted due to your powerful heart resonance. It's its own disinfectant, its own protection, its own shield, its own cloak of invisibility, its own open sesame, its key, the very key to everything you would ever want. So you live in an entirely different reality when you are dwelling in that secret place. It is almost like Well, it is exactly like before you were dead, and suddenly you've been born again to real life. Let's hear what Sai Baba has to say about love. I'm quoting from his book, Love is My Message. Divine love exists before birth, after birth, and continues forever. Yet no effort is made by man to understand his true nature as enduring love. Attachment to the body is a kind of disease which can be treated by three kinds of remedies. One is observing dietary restrictions while taking the medicine. And if regulations are not observed, the medicine will not cure the disease. And diet control without the medicine will be equally ineffective. Both diet control and medicine are equally necessary for curing the disease. With regard to the disease of attachment to the body, one has to abide by the divine injunctions and to practice love for the divine to get rid of the ailment. Observing divine injunctions without love for God will not work. It will not be efficacious. Equally, devotion without observance of the Lord's commands will be useless. Love is the medicine, and God's injunctions are the diet restrictions. It is the presence of both in man that divinity can be made to manifest. Man views and experiences love from three standpoints. Number one, love relating to the body. Number two, love in relationship to the mind. And three, spiritual love. Love assumes three forms according to the three qualities or attributes of nature: tamas, rajas, and sattva. Tamas is the mode of ignorance, rajas the mode of passion, and sattva the balanced or neutral zone. All of the attachments and differences arising in the world and in the processes of birth, growth, and dissolution are based on love. When you examine the nature of love while coming together or experiencing separation, or in happiness or sorrow, the need for cultivating equal-mindedness in these different situations becomes apparent. Love based only on physical relations is considered by the Shastras as tamasic, or in the mode of ignorance, and as the lowest of the three types of love. It manifests itself as attachment to one's own kith and kin, or one's possessions, and is confined to a very narrow circle. The second category of love combines self-centered love with love for others, for the purpose of gaining one's ends. These persons pretend to have love for their superiors or people in power, thereby seeking to achieve their aims. They adore men of affluence and power by their obsequious service to them. They try to win their favors. This is love in the mode of passion or rajoguna. And it is love that is prompted only by self-serving, self-centered urges. The third category is pure, sattvic, divine love. In contemporary conditions, this type of love is very rare. People filled with sattvic love recognize the same divine is present in all beings. They consider that without love towards all beings, life is meaningless. By their universal love, they proclaim the truth about the omnipresence of the divine. Their vision is spiritual, as they see the divine in all beings. Such persons are fearless, like lions, which roam about without any apprehension of danger from any source. The person with bodily visions behaves like sheep, steeped in fear. The one who has acquired spiritual vision has all his senses, mind, and intellect under the control of the Atma, or Divine Spirit. In the pursuit of the spiritual, one should not have any rewards in view. One who has mercenary motives becomes a wage earner. He cannot be a master. One who works for wages will not have a deep interest in the work, and what he does will not be perfect. He will only be a clock watcher. He considers himself an outsider in relation to his job. On the other hand, in his own house, see how his wife and children work. They receive no wages. Their work is filled with love, purity, and earnestness. They are masters of themselves and work in freedom. One who prays to God for something in return is like a wage laborer. The devotee who regards God as his own kith and kinsman and serves the Lord is like a master of the household. Conduct yourself as masters and not as mercenary employees. This was from a talk or an article that Sai Baba wrote in 1994. Sai Baba is a literal embodiment of the pure, unconditional, divine, Christed love. And so who better can teach us and speak into our lives in that capacity? Well, people use all kinds of complicated techniques and go to so many seminars and listen to so many lectures in their attempt to manifest success, power, influence, and abilities that with love would come of their own and sit in their laps. The problem really, the only problem, is that people want success, abundance, and the things of this world without God. They have edged God out of their lives and their ambitions and their goals. And edging God out is another definition of ego. Well, they have forgotten that God is to have top priority in our life. That is why we're here on earth, is to realize that we are divine and one with God, and moreover, God lives in us, as us, and expresses through us, so that that formless love can have form definition here. Without the human instrument, that love would be like ungrounded, unwired electrical current. It would be latent as a potency, but there wouldn't be any wiring into the house that would bring it illumination. That house is your body and your consciousness, and that wiring is your nervous system and your chakra system and that heart space, all of which connect you to that divine love source and enable it to source through you. So our relationship with that, with God, and to fit ourselves into selfless instruments through which that divine current of love and light can flow, that really has to be our primary focus and our greatest desire while we're here in this world. So the biggest problem in the world, as I see it anyway, is that we have forgotten all about God. We don't really consider that as anything but an option for some people who then equate it with joining a church and listening to somebody read out of an ancient book about stuff that has nothing to do with anything about here and now, and living from that heart space. You would think that people who are in clergy, in ministry, that have Christian programs on television would be speaking about how to enter that secret place of the Most High. But nobody does. They're all talking about, you know, politics and wars and potential wars and differences in beliefs and money and economics. And, you know, you could read the newspaper and get the same information. But the people who should know about the secret place of the Most High and how to guide you into making that connection, they're asleep at the switch. So that's why I don't talk about those other things in these seminars, but I focus upon how we can indeed enter this deeper dimension of our being and manifest our own Christship. Jesus set a model, but he never ever said he was the only one. He simply set a matrix in place so that we could all discover our divine sonship, so that we could all sit on the throne as the Messiah, as a collectivity, which would be the greater works. So, people have forgotten God because there's nobody, practically nobody out there that is talking about these deeper levels of relationship beyond scriptures, beyond church organizations and structures and, you know, belief systems that create even more separation, division, and confusion. I think it's because in the Kali Yuga we have really forgotten, as Baba says, the wellsprings of our own blessedness. We've lost the way, which is why the avatar has to come. You know, when it's the darkest, the avatar takes some form to remind and repair that ancient highway to our own innermost being. And so, without a sense of the divine, we have no sense of our own true divinity. And without a sense of God and the divine substratum of all creation and origin of all things, we have no sense of purpose and no direction in life. And in fact, we're like dead people to real life, or at least sound asleep. And, you know, that's one of the shocks that comes to us upon awakening, is that you suddenly realize that most people are sound asleep or like the walking dead. It's, fortunately, doesn't last very long, because when you truly enter the secret place of the Most High, you fall in love with everyone, and you love everyone with all your heart, and that becomes your whole reality, is being the living love. So when Jesus told us to seek first the kingdom of God, and that the kingdom of God was within us, and to close the door and enter into that secret chamber, our inner closet, which is the inner consciousness, and to pray in quiet and solitude, he was speaking about entering that secret place. And his teachings were all about finding that first, and then everything else would find its way to you as required. So the kingdom of God, the throne of God, is an actual location within your heart. That is also referred to in the 91st Psalm as the secret place of the Most High. And that is where you, as a divine, unique soul energy, divine sacred geometric manifestation, and resonant field, that's where you dwell forever with God. So when we say enter it, in highest truth, what we're doing is entering our awareness into a place that you could never really leave. It's just that you've lost conscious awareness of that. So the thing that is moving into that space is your probing awareness. It is the light of your inner consciousness that you direct into a specific locality within your heart. We have many times led you in the heartfelt meditation where you breathe into your heart as if it had little nostrils, and you allow your heart to breathe in and out. You can combine that with the Soham if you like, or I love you, Lord. I love you. God bless you. I love you. God bless you. Whatever loving statement as you breathe and focus into your heart, so that you get a feeling of the vibration that begins to build and swell in the center of your chest. And then as you very gently, innocently, and purely allow your consciousness to settle into your heart like a pebble in a quiescent pool. And you'll find yourself settling into a place that transcends thought, a deep, deep sense of peace. And when it says to wait upon the Lord, that is where you tarry or wait. And the waiting is simply hanging out in that quiet place with the beloved. Hang out there. If you lose focus, start the breathing again. And I love you, Lord. Or whatever you want to repeat as you breathe. Soham. Or Jesus. Or Anahu. Whatever has a two-syllable cadence. Sai Ram. Is a suitable mantra for that heart space. And see if you can just awaken that place within you. There are probably as many places ways to enter that place as there are people on the planet. But you know how to find yourself. You know how to find the source of your innermost being. You're hardwired for union with God, consciously, radiantly, dynamically. You are hardwired for relationship with immortal love. And so you will find it. You cannot possibly seek this place and miss it. So be patient. And know that it is a sacred place of oneness that only love can find, approach, and enter. So if you're upset with anyone, then you do some forgiveness. I forgive myself for judging myself or seeing such and such and so and so. And I ask that judgment, jealousy, anger, upset, strife, whatever it is, be dissolved in the love and grace of God. And just see it as little darkness dissolving into the love. Let everything dissolve in the love. That is, give it all to love. No need to process, no need to understand it or figure it out. It would be like going through your garbage can and wondering what all the garbage is for. Forget it. Dissolve it in love. All you need to do. All of your false images, your false idols, all of your false senses of self, your judgments, your critiques, your opinions and condemnations, let them all be dissolved in love. And enter the sacred inner temple like a little child or like a virgin, untouched. emerge in your first intimate embrace in the arms of the beloved. Offer yourself like that. So that is why you must come simply and empty, innocently, but in full confidence that it is your right to enter and unite consciously with your divine source. And only the true self, the divine part of you, as pure love, can enter and dwell in this secret place with unconditional pure love, or God. Now, several things become your normal way of being when you are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. First off, you will notice the beauty all around you, in nature, in other people. It is like you are truly seeing for the first time, and everything you see gives a little thrill of divine ecstasy in your heart. That's that mystic vision that just naturally comes with drawing near to the divine. It awakens you to beauty. You become actually sensitive to beautiful music, beautiful sounds, beautiful color, beautiful details in nature around you. The play of the seasons and the various behaviors of the life forms of nature. Everything begins to reveal its innermost being and commune with you. Like the beautiful story of Anastasia in the forest in Russia. You become like her, completely in kinship with all life. Next, you love spontaneously, and for no reason, everyone that you encounter. Your spontaneous response to everyone is one of love. You feel a sense of open-hearted goodwill, so much so that there's nothing you wouldn't do for anyone. Even total strangers are all to you as your own family. Equally dear, equally precious to you. Number three, your heart from then on is permanently open. It never shuts down, no matter what anyone says or does, or what state you may be in, physically, mentally, or emotionally. Your heart permanently stays open. In fact, you would give your very life for another without a second thought. Your love is pure, unconditional, without any sense of separation or difference, and it is universal and impartial towards all. That's the state where you don't have favorites and you don't have enemies. It's you feel the same divine love towards everyone. It will have different expressions, of course, appropriate to the dharma of that relationship, but the love itself doesn't have degrees of difference. Naturally, you know, you feel more of a affinity with others who have a similar vibration. Of course you do. But that's an affinity thing. It has nothing to do with the unconditional love that you feel and goodwill that you extend to everyone. Number four, you notice the pure, the praiseworthy, the lovely, the noble. You know, that's what you notice. Those attributes in everyone and in everything, you simply don't notice anything else. You know, you don't judge and critique and mentally run a laundry list on everyone. You just don't go there anymore. You're in that state that Eckhart Tolle would refer to as the presence, fully present, just observing and present without the mind doing anything about anything. Another attribute which is interesting is that you are deeply at peace with everything just as it is. You see the appropriateness of all things, and nothing in you is needing anything to be different or to change or to be more or better. You begin to live totally beyond the moods of the emotional body and the desires and opinions of the mind. You have a body, but you are completely free from its limitations. You begin to experience a state of spiritual liberation and freedom, both within your innermost consciousness and in your sense of your environment, so that even if you were in prison, like some of the great saints were, you are still in the freedom of soul, of this expanded heart space, this divine sacred and secret place of the Most High. So don't you think it's worth everything to find that place and tuck in and each day allow yourself to rest in the lotus temple of your own heart or the purple rose of your heart? You can use whatever visuals you like, but the important thing is to create a context by which you recline yourself in your pure beingness every day. Every day. You know, it's interesting. I'm teaching out of my own experience, because I couldn't speak about this if I hadn't obviously experienced it for quite a while. But I'm in a state now where my usual forms of spiritual practice have fallen to silence. Simply silence. And I might try to pray, but almost instantly I fall into that place within my heart where speech is totally unnecessary. And it's a state of truly divine communion, heart to heart, without context, without thought, without theory. It's a place where you truly rest in God, as a planet rests in space. And in that state, you can hear all and say nothing. You can experience all and do nothing. And you can finally serve all and be nothing. You begin to lose attachment to the spiritual person you thought you were. And this is a bit new for me, because like so many people that are out there doing this work, you tend to get a sense of identity based on your mission or your function. And that's starting to fall away from me now. More and more. So I truly believe that all the things that we don't need are simply quietly outgrown and slip away. They just of their own. You don't have to try to get rid of anything. It's like outgrowing. You know, it's like you don't notice yourself growing when you're a child, but all of a sudden your pant legs are up your calves and your sleeves are at mid arm length, and it's like, wow, I've grown. It's like that spiritually too. The things that no longer, well, they kind of clutter your life. I find that things get really simple now. Really simple. I used to, for many years, be involved in all kinds of elaborate spiritual pujas and mantra chanting and meditational processes and various affirmations and, oh gosh, you know, we all do that. And they're like spiritual calisthenics. They build in the spiritual states of vibration in the various vehicles that we have, the physical, the emotional, the mental, the causal. It builds in the scaffolding, let's say, so that you have some structure, some foundation for your spiritual life, so that it isn't just loosey-goosey and willy-nilly. There is actually a foundation for that temple that you have actually had a hand in constructing. And this is quite literal in terms of your subtle bodies. You begin to build in dimensions of consciousness within your own levels. And you do that automatically as you move in and out of them, in soul travel, as you externalize in and out of your body throughout the day, as your inner awareness moves multidimensionally. You think you're the same level of consciousness from morning to night, but you're not. Your spirit is constantly moving multidimensionally in its awareness. You may not be aware of that level of awareness because you may not have taken the trouble to stop and look. But that doesn't mean that part of you is not operative. It is. You're working in universes right now as you're listening to this seminar that you're not even aware of. You're inhabiting worlds and realms and dimensions. Not just one thing. Many, many, many things. You may be running multiple universes for all you know as one of the Elohim. How do you know what you're doing or not doing? And you don't need to know until you need to know. And if you need to know, it's presented to you. But, you know, that information doesn't serve you if it just builds in more of a sense of self-importance and more of a sense of spiritual ego. So the spiritual ego, I think, is even harder to get rid of than the human negative lower self. Because once we think we are something, whether it's a commander or a Elohim or a master or a spiritually enlightened person, as soon as we begin to identify with a subject-object sort of thing that separates us from others, we're back in illusion again. We're back in glamour. We're back in Maya. Because there, in spirit, there's only one. We're all co-equal. None is greater. None is lesser. Some may be functioning more consciously, like an avatar, for example. But that avatar is no greater spiritually than you are, because all spirits are equally divine, equally holy, equally pure. So it's only the job assignment and the manifestation in time and space that seems, for a period, to differentiate. So know, beloved, that when you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, you don't have to be worried about dates or anything that may happen in this world, because you birth and live in a world uniquely woven of love. So let's take a deep breath and go out chanting, Anai Hu. Deep breath. Anai Hu. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed is the name of the Lord. God evening, and God bless you all. Adonai.